the opportunity to actually minister to us, isn't it? That's really the heart of who God is. He wants to meet with us. One of the songs we sang, I think, because I can't remember what we sung, it all kind of merges into one, is that he wants to fill this space. And when we talk about this space, when we gather together, there comes a spiritual joining together of our hearts, our values and our faith. And he wants to fill this space. But more importantly, he wants to fill the space in our heart, because that's where he lives. That's where he wants to be, because that's where he does his business with us. And sometimes it's hard for us to let God into our lives. And I'm always astounded that when we say, does anybody need prayer? And one person puts their hands up, and you think, is that really it? Only one person needs something from God? We need to be more honest with ourselves and with God. And we have to submit who we are to him. You know, God comes in on his terms, not ours. But when we allow him in, he begins to transform us. He begins to deal with the stuff. He begins to give us a new perception of who he is and who we are. And the great thing about him is that as we begin to see through God's eyes, he begins to work new things in us. And it's just so good sometimes to give God the opportunity to do that. Last week, for those of you who were here, I talked about being set free. In other words, that we are battling with this power of sin. We are born in sin. We live in sin. It separates us from who God is. He can't communicate with us because there's this barrier called sin. And it's driving our behaviors. It's driving our attitudes. It's driving our thoughts. And it causes conflict, not only internally in each of us, but externally as well. We can just look round and we can see the result of the power of sin in our world today. Jesus came to set us free from that. He came to conquer sin and death, and he has done. And that gives us access into his glorious body, where we begin to enter a life of transformation, a life where he has access into our hearts and he begins to work in us. And as we read in Romans, he talks about this battle that I want to do good things, I want to say good things, I want to be good, I want to be changed, but there is something in me that's driving me the opposite way. We have this internal battle. And Paul talks about this in Romans, and it's quite an interesting conversation that he's having about the good things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, I can't help but doing. They almost are driving me to overcome my own will and my own thoughts. And so oh, there he is. I thought he'd escaped for a minute. So we are facing this battle with sin. But once we come to faith, really, we have allowed the Spirit of God, we have allowed him into our hearts, and sin is overcome. The power of sin no longer has dominion in our lives. But sometimes it doesn't feel like that, does it? It feels like we are in this battle and we almost can't win it. We don't know what to do sometimes to overcome all this stuff that's going on inside of us. And sin always drives us to desperation and hopelessness and defeat and all the things that come along with those things. But Jesus came to give us life. He came to give life in abundance, pressed down, shaken together and running over. He came to set us free from all this stuff, but we've got to learn how to live in it. So I'm going to talk this morning about how we live free lives, free from the power of sin. For us who are born again, we have a new hope in us. Those outside the kingdom of God, they are powerless over the force of sin. They can think that they are above it, but their behaviours, thought patterns, and internal drives always come up short. In the context of eternity, so we're talking about moving to the next life, being good just doesn't do it. It isn't good enough. They will stand before God, declaring their righteousness to no effect. Our righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. We have been washed. We are clean this morning. Jesus paid the price, a pure, unblemished sacrifice for our sin. And through his life demonstrated a sinless life that meant death couldn't hold him. When Jesus was crucified, death had no hold on him. Jesus overcame the power of sin for the world and has authority over Satan and the powers of the air. Jesus has won the war. His gift to each of us is forgiveness for the sin in our lives, and he takes up residency in our own hearts. Romans 8:11 says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." So the very spirit that overcame death, that overcame the power of sin, is living in us who believe. And I suppose this morning we're just talking about the things that we believe in. Theology is very important, understanding what we believe. But then we've got to believe it. We've got to trust it. We've got to put our faith in it for it to work in our lives. And that for me is the key of living free from the stuff that sin would throw at us. Is we've got to understand who we are in Christ. We've got to believe it and we've got to live it and let Jesus reign in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus has authority over sin and he's living in us. That's what the Bible tells us. This means that when we've faced the challenges of the power of sin, we have someone living in us that enables us to defeat our enemy. Sometimes we don't live like that. Sometimes we keep falling with the same issue. In our natural lives, if we're struggling with something, we need to find someone who's overcome the same issue. And that could be anything in life. We can struggle with certain aspects of life, and it's great to find somebody who's been through the same process and come out the other side and gone, I know where you are. See, if a football team keeps losing, and we won't mention any colours now because they're both at it, you wouldn't go to Ten Hag, would you? You go to Alex Ferguson. He's been through it all. He knows how to win. He is victorious in his management of a football team. And that's where we would go. And so it is with Christ. He's overcome the power of sin. And he is the one we go to when we're dealing with sin. He's got to be. He's overcome it. Faith is the key issue in our Christian lives. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." God is faithful. It says God is faithful. He is true to his word. Whatever we read in the word of God, he is faithful to it. He will not veer to the right or the left. He will stand on his word and fulfill it. And here it says that you won't be tempted or tested. Is another way of looking at it. Sometimes we come under temptation, sometimes we are tested. And God is saying here that he won't give you more than what you can bear. It says that there is always a way out. The way out is putting our faith in God's promises and his authority. It's using our faith to understand who we are in God, so that when we face temptation, when we are tested in our faith, that we go straight and stand on who God is. As believers, Satan doesn't leave us alone. Have you found that? Have you discovered that for yourself yet? He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't just go, "Oh, they're saved now, they're born again, I've got no chance there, I'm going to just leave them alone." That is not the case. Jesus was tempted and came under attack from Satan, and we certainly will be. In fact, when we become a believer, when we put our faith in Jesus, very often we become targets, because Satan doesn't want us to live victorious lives. He doesn't want us to experience all the freedom that God has given to us He doesn't want us to experience the fullness of life, because when we do that, we begin to witness to others about the greatness of God, and he doesn't want that. And so we come under attack, and he wants us to live defeated Christian lives. And dealing with the power of sin, dealing with temptation, is part of our maturing process. Knowing something in theory and doing it in practice are two very different things. We can know all the things about God, but it's not until we begin to put our faith in him that we begin to really understand what God is trying to do. See, the theory of parenting is really easy until you have kids. Then suddenly it becomes quite difficult. And we thought we knew all about it. We thought we understood what was going to happen. But our lives are turned upside down, and we kind of go, whoa, just a minute. That wasn't in the book. And so it is in our faith life. Sometimes we've got it all worked out, but the moment God enters into our lives and Satan comes on the attack, we go, well, I wasn't expecting this. I thought my Christian life would be easy. I thought everything would be sorted out. I thought I'd wake up singing every morning. What a beautiful day and all that kind of thing. I thought I'd go to bed at night with peace, with no issues. But that is not the reality of our lives. But we are on a maturing process. We're in a process where we have to learn how to handle the drive, the temptation of sin that we are facing. Satan is very subtle. And as we grow in God, our temptations become more subtle. We may stop stealing and fighting and lying and calling people all kinds of names. Our language may change. And these are very often behaviors that God deals with very, very quickly, because they're obvious. Everybody knows. And so we are challenged by the Holy Spirit. But as we move on, we tend to fall for character sin. So if we know the fruit of the Spirit, our temptations are very often the opposite to what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, all those things that God wants to grow in our hearts and in our lives, that is what comes under attack from the enemy. But we've got to do something about that. We've got to face our temptation. We've got to face our sin, if you like, the power of sin that's trying to drive us. We've got to learn how to handle that. It says in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the writer of the Hebrews recognized that we all have weaknesses, and if we want to be free from sin, we must not get entangled with the sin that we always fall for. It is possible through Christ. We're all different. We all come from a different place. We all have different backgrounds. But there is something in each of us that draws us, we are tempted by, that easily entangles us. You will know what yours are if you're thinking about, no, well, what entangles me? Remember that God always provides a way out and has given us spiritual weapons to use when we face the power of sin. We've got to use them, though. That's the faith aspect. It's putting things into action. I was trying to think of an example of what that means, really. And so many of you will know that I go fishing. Yeah. I fish in the same pond and I catch the same fish. And you'd think they'd have worked it out by now, wouldn't you? You think we would? You'd have thought they'd have worked it out. So they have. They do learn. They have a learning process. And so they learn certain things. So what you've got to do, you've got to change the way that you catch them. You've got to change the bait you use. You've got to change the thickness of the line, the size of the hooks, the different depths that you catch them at. And I catch them. You see, they have a drive in them that keeps entangling them, and they keep falling for it. And for many of us, the sin that keeps catching us out is very similar. We think we've worked it out, but Satan is subtle and he tries something different. Part of our human nature, really. And he catches us, which is why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit, which we prayed for this morning, because he opens our eyes to see all this stuff and recognize it. When we're living in our own understanding, in our own strength, very often we fall for these things and we get caught again. Although we're born again and living in a new spiritual dimension, a new life, our old self follows us everywhere we go. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. So we've got to be proactive about dealing with the temptation and the drive that sin brings to us. Although Christ is living in our hearts and overcome the power of sin, we've got to take responsibility and apply faith to defeat it. We are still in control of our thoughts, our actions, and our conversations, and it's our responsibility to recognize sin knocking at the door of our heart and allow Christ to overcome the power of sin on our behalf. One of the songs we sang this morning talks about God is still in control. Well, he is, but he doesn't control your behavior. He doesn't control what you are thinking. He doesn't control what you're saying. You do that. He may be in control of the universe, but you are in control of all the things that you are responsible for. We can allow him to come in and be in control and influence us by the Holy Spirit and empower us to live a sin-free life. But we've got to make that decision. He doesn't just break into our hearts. Very quiet in the way he guides and draws our attention to the things that we are doing. See, our enemy is a deceiver. And if you've ever been deceived, then you know that it's not until the deed is done that you realize what has happened. It's not my heart beating that. It's something outside. You're deceived on purpose. You are deceived, and it's not until you go, whoa, what have I just done? And you realize, I've done it again. I've fallen for it again. And the greatest weakness in the church and in believers is our lack of maturity in understanding all this stuff, applying faith to it, and be determined to live a life that glorifies God. It's righteousness and holiness, two words that we don't really like because we think it restricts us to live a righteous life, to live that reflects God's values, and to be holy and pure before him. We think, oh, I can't live like that. That's going to be a bit restrictive. But in fact, that leads to life. That's what leads us to life when we are living in that place before God. I think the greatest deceit of all, and probably applies to each one of us, is that as we sit here this morning, you think you are as good as it's going to get. You think that God can't deal with me, he can't change me, I'm too hard to work with, I've done too much stuff in my life and God can't deal with that. That's deceit from the enemy. It's not true. Don't care where you are on your walk, but God can actually begin to transform you even this morning, no matter how long you've been on the journey. Many Christians are left feeling that there is not much more for me. I'll just keep going until I go to heaven. God doesn't want us to live like that. That's why he sent Jesus to live in our hearts, to set us free, to become new creations, so that day by day we are experiencing new things in God. But we must activate our faith and trust in the word that God tells us that we are new creations and new things are coming. And that once God has started a work in us, his heart is to complete it. I love that scripture that he started something in you, so he's going to finish it. And so often we go, he started something in me, but that's as much as he's going to do. We limit God so much with our own understanding of the temptation and deceit of the enemy, but God is bringing new things to us all the time. Remember, God always gives us a way out, but it's our responsibility to take it. We've been given the Holy Spirit who reveals truth to our hearts, but it's our decision whether we act on it or not. God will always, the Holy Spirit will always be revealing the heart of the Father to us, but we've got to make that decision that we're going to listen and we're going to do. We are going to be obedient, that we're going to take notice of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us so that we can live in the freedom of all that Christ brought to us. We've got to make decisions about our walk with God. And I love this scripture in Joshua 24:15. This is Joshua talking to the children of Israel. They were at a crossroads in their sort of faith journey. Some didn't want to follow God. They felt he'd let them down. But Joshua said this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors you served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." He made a decision when he was being tempted and pressed by the children of Israel to serve other gods. He said, "I'm not doing that. I'm going to serve the Lord." We are called to live a holy and righteous life. And very often this is in direct opposition to our natural self-driven life when the power of sin is evident. If we want to live free from the destruction of sin, then we must live like a Christian. In other words, we've got to decide whose slave we're going to be. I talked last week about a slave has got no authority. He's got to do what he's told. He is under a master who will drive him. That's what sin does. It lives in our lives and it drives us to destruction. We are a slave to sin. But we become a slave to Christ. When we understand the fullness of all God has done for us, we begin to live as a slave for Christ. And we are set free from the power of sin. Romans 8:5-6. "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Got to make a decision. Are we going to live according to the flesh? So that's the natural, our own thinking, the values of this world, the desires of this world. If we live like that, then we are going to face death. But if we live in the Spirit, life begins to flow into us. See, God's not looking for perfection, and very often we get tripped up by that. We think, "I'm not good enough." Even as a believer, we can think, "I'm not good enough." He's not looking for perfection. That will only come when we move from this life to the next and we are in heaven. But God is looking for a heart that wants to serve him. And when we get it wrong, and we do get it wrong, we confess, "Father, I've got it wrong." We repent, "I'm not doing that again." And we get on with it. We receive forgiveness from God. And if there's stuff in your life this morning where you've got to confess and repent, do so. Do so, because otherwise it will become a blockage in your spiritual walk and in your freedom in God. And God will forgive us as we confess and repent. See, one of the challenges we face sometimes is believing what we're reading. It's believing what the Word tells us about God. Because what we try and do is work it out ourselves. He says, "If you confess your sin, I'll forgive you. End of." No debate there. no grey area. If you confess, I'll forgive. If you confess, I'll forgive. And so sometimes we just need simply to confess so that we can be forgiven. We get so easily entangled with the values and desires of this world, and we forget we've been set free from the power of sin that drives our flesh. Some of the issues that we carry around with us and in us are because we're not living spiritual lives. And inevitably, we begin to pick up a weight, a heaviness in our spirits. We've got to put faith in who Jesus is and make a decision to live for him. Just two things I want to mention in conclusion. One is, it is finished. Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished. I have won the war. Jesus died that our sin is forgiven and has authority over all powers and kingdoms. He forgives our sin and sets us free from its power so we can live lives that are not dominated or driven by the power of sin." If you're carrying a weight in your heart today, I'll remind you that Jesus has set you free. It is finished. It is done. If we have put our faith in Christ, he has set us free. We are this new creation who God wants to work in. Second thing is, we've got to live for Christ. There's a section in my Bible in Romans that it's entitled "Living Like a Christian." And that's how God wants us to live. But not in our own strength, in his strength. That's why the Holy Spirit, when he lives in us, he empowers us to live for Christ. We can't do it on our own strength. If we could, Jesus wouldn't have needed to have died. But he did. And so we've got to live for Christ, allowing him to live in our hearts. It's a grace gift that keeps working in us and transforms who we are. This gift that he's giving us is the most powerful force in the universe. It overcomes the power of sin. But we have to be determined to live daily and set our minds and our hearts to live by faith and recognize that the enemy will always be feeding our fleshly nature. He won't go away. Satan will not go away. He'll always be feeding us, but we've got to be determined to be slaves to Christ and not slaves to sin. If we want to live a free life, then we must choose to live for Christ and not be easily deceived and distracted by sin. And I just want to read this in closing down. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. "But whatever were gains to me, whatever things I had done that I thought were of value to me, I now consider them loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Christ has done so much for us. He's given so much to us. But we have got to live in it. Let us live up to what we have already attained through Christ Jesus. Let's just pray together.